Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Richard Boley, Director of the Office of E-Diplomacy within the U.S. Department of State. Also joining our conversation today is Dan Chenick, Executive Director of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. So, Richard, what is e-diplomacy, and would you outline the transformative goals of e-diplomacy?
So, really, the nub of e-diplomacy is to make sure that if somebody has the information that another person needs to get their work done, that they can find each other. It's not this hierarchical command and control knowledge management approach where there's some gigantic data basement somewhere where everything needs to be thrown and you go fishing for the information there. It's more that information is where it is, and you just need it to make it discoverable. And we use social software platforms, things that people are very comfortable and digital natives have been using or use daily, as those intuitive platforms for us to make that knowledge available and allow collaboration more seamlessly.
Are there specific goals related to e-diplomacy within the State Department?
So the core is to facilitate access to the information that a diplomat or our State Department employees need anytime, anywhere on any of our available platforms. And so that's kind of the real nub of it. But part of it is, although I don't like the idea of cultural change, there is a change implicit in this. If we move from a Cold War need-to-know approach where, you know, the idea, the watchword was keep information locked down, siloed, because the big bad Soviet bear was out there trying to get pieces and aggregate them to figure out our secrets. And you fast forward to the post-9/11 era where we found ourselves crippled by our inability to aggregate those same pieces of information to identify our threats and vulnerabilities. So that sea change, that change from need to know to need to share, is fundamental to what we do. Equally fundamental is the idea that success is not dependent on the information you hoard, but the ability to articulate the information you have across an important, valuable network throughout the enterprise, not just to the people you know, but people who may be a degree or two of separation away from you, but would benefit from having access to the information you have.
Thanks, Richard. And sort of taking the e-diplomacy concept forward into the State Department's core mission, Secretary Clinton has noted that the changing international landscape and global trends requires an expanded concept of diplomacy. To that end, the Secretary outlined a vision of 21st century diplomacy with the launch of the 21st Century Statecraft Initiative. Tell us more about this initiative and how it relates to the State Civil Society 2.0 initiative. And together, how do these efforts seek to foster a new kind of public engagement internationally?
Thanks. That's a great question. And I what I'll want to focus on is the internal side of this external. A few of our programs do have external components, but the very core is behind the firewall. So what I like to say is that if you don't collaborate and share internally, you're never going to share externally. So the culture you have when nobody's looking is going to be the culture you have when people are looking. So to develop that collaboration culture within the State Department and to empower the 21st century statecraft, which in a nutshell is moving from this, government to government and government to peoples through broadcast medium, think of Voice of America, to a much more, a richer, nuanced set of interactions that require both sides listening, both sides responding, that can move into, engagement with civil society organizations, with business organizations, with government. And it's a whole break from the traditional format of government to government and government to peoples through broadcast.
So with that critical context, Richard, I'd like to transition to specific initiatives and platforms you are hosting or pursuing as a way to realize the Secretary's vision. The ability to maintain institutional knowledge has always been a challenge for State, given the fact that folks rotate on assignments every, 2 years. To that end, would you briefly describe the range of collaboration and knowledge sharing platforms developed and supported by your office?
Excellent. What I'd like to say is that today people are using email like a hammer, where they sometimes need a screwdriver and a pair of pliers. So, they're pounding screws into the table with their hammer. And while it may at first be uncomfortable using a screwdriver, once they get the handle of it, they'll understand that it's a lot better way to do it. So we think of a range of collaboration and information sharing platforms. One is where you have evolving persistent knowledge. There's not a lot of social to it, but it changes over time. Think of the signed authoritative PDFs that may be up in your organization. Another is where you have information where you have a social side to it. Maybe somebody shares something and they want to get a reaction to it, but it doesn't depend on that interaction to be valid. A third is where you have your personal set of information about what you do, what you've done, your skill set, your interests, what you're working on, and you want to be able to share that. It's more personal, but you want to be able to share it across the enterprise. Then you have idea generation, where people have ideas and others have the ability to implement those ideas. And that whole gamut from those four kind of types of information sharing and collaboration, if you pulled out of your email inbox everything that fell into one of those four buckets, you'd probably shrink your email inbox by 2/3, which would make it much easier just to hold your email inbox for discrete transactions. So that's in a nutshell is kind of what we're trying to do. And we've had, I think, pretty high success.
So building on that summary, could you tell us a little bit about Diplopedia? How has it sought to maintain institutional memory, foster collaboration, and cultivate connection within your department?
So Diplopedia would be that evolving persistent knowledge. Think of the information that is, it's the institutional memory, information that changes periodically, and you want to make it easy to change that record, but you want it easily accessible at the same time. Again, in an organization like the State Department, where an official message that leaves the State Department as a cable carries the Secretary of State's name at the bottom, an official message that leaves an embassy, a cable carries the name of the ambassador. That's very hierarchical. It's very authoritative. Unfortunately, it's for these evolving persistent knowledge, it doesn't kind of fit well. So Diplopedia was the perfect medium for this. It's a wiki just built on the same software that Wikipedia is built on. And we found that it's grown tremendously. We have over 15,000 articles, over 5,000 contributors, about 35,000 page views a week. And increasingly, it's the place where people go to find information. Let me just give a real simple example of where this was useful. Our account reps, you could call them, are our desk officers. They're the ones that manage the relationship between our embassy to a country and that country's embassy to the U.S. here in Washington. And they're kind of gatekeepers and traffic cops for information to make sure information gets across, and they manage visits and comings and goings. But those people who are desk officers, oftentimes it's their first tour in Washington. They've been overseas for maybe 4 years, two tours as a Foreign Service officer. They show up in Washington, and now there's a whole bunch of things that they need to know how to do. But chances are, since everybody else in their office is turning over every couple of years, there's not a lot of human institutional memory. So we helped these desk officers develop a portal within Diplopedia called Deskopedia. And it is an aggregation of all the information that a desk officer would need to perform those functions, even if it's something they only need to do every once in a while. Incredibly effective, incredibly useful. And if any information is stale, any desk officer, or for that matter, any person in the State Department can update it.
So these are great explanations of how a wiki works and how you might apply it to the desk officers. A wiki itself may not seem cutting edge, but it requires a major cultural shift to be used properly. Can you elaborate on the cultural shift and what was done to make it successful?
Right. So I that's a really important point, is that, and we always say it's not about the technology. The technologies, it should never be the focus. The focus should be, what is the end user trying to achieve, and can we achieve it faster, easier, better through the right tool for the right challenge? Another example, so a very good example, is there are periodic annual reports that embassies need to make, sometimes mandated by Congress. And it's a known periodic report that's going to happen at the same time every year. Every embassy knows they need to do it. And they work with their office, the office back office, oftentimes the desk office, the desk officer with in developing that report, making sure it comes in on time, going back and forth on different drafts. And we had a breakthrough a couple of years ago when there was the religious engagement report that the White House had asked the state to put together. And we had the lead office actually do it through Diplopedia. And it was tremendously helpful because if I'm in Angola and I'm working on my religious engagement report, I can see what they're doing in Mozambique, another Portuguese-speaking country on the other side of Africa. I can also see what they're doing in Namibia, the country to our southern border. And you get this sense of, well, I'm understanding what my colleagues are doing and I can benefit from them doing that. They can benefit from seeing what I'm doing. And you also have this version control issue. It's not that the latest version is stuck in somebody's inbox and that person's out sick today. It's available, and you can always peel back those versions to an earlier version if you decided you wanted to make changes.
Great. So thinking about organizational boundaries and crossing them, especially crossing geographic constraints, in terms of connecting State Department professionals, tell us more about the Communities at State initiative. We understand that it enables and encourages department personnel with shared professional experience to form these online communities. What are the benefits of the initiative? How can the platform expand interagency information sharing collaboration even beyond state?
So again, that's if we think about evolving persistent knowledge being Diplopedia, then Content with Conversation are our multi-author blogs. And we have about 70 of those that are active. About two-thirds of them are open to interagency, and one-third are restricted to state, not for any other reason than the issues are parochial issues. So some examples. We have one that looks at policy issues, so the impact of China in Africa. We have ones that look at kind of the social side. So where both members of a couple or the husband and wife are both Foreign Service officers or both spouses are Foreign Service officers. And they have unique challenges in how do they manage their career. There's also shared commonalities. People who go and run at lunch, they can organize through that. But that spills over to work. So there's a clear benefit to work as well. You know, these have been crucial to be able to share expertise. One great example is for consular affairs, which has been a very strong user of these platforms. You have somebody working at a small consulate. It's a single-person consulate, so they have to do everything from soup to nuts. They're not going to have the depth in certain areas that they would need, but they can have access to somebody who that is their sole area, is that, you know, a narrow slice of that is all they focus on, American Citizen Services. And they could reach out to that person on the American Citizen Services platform, not to get, you know, what is the policy, but what is the practical application of the policy.
So, Richard, your office has also sought to provide department personnel with better ways to find and share experience and expertise with colleagues, sort of building their professional network. How has State's professional networking platform, Corridor, provided this ability within your department? And what are the advantages of this platform? And more importantly, what more can be done with it?
So we're excited about Corridor. It's just a year ago May, we launched it. So it's a little over a year old. And it's an opt-in platform. Looks a lot like LinkedIn. It works like LinkedIn, looks a little like Facebook. And we have, in a year, over 10,000 users. Which is a significant chunk of the State Department. And what we found is it's great for, first of all, identifying your expertise. As I'd mentioned before, diplomats move around every couple of years. So your career looks like a stack of business cards. Unfortunately, the only thing that's visible to anyone is your top of the stack. So I'm the director of e-diplomacy, so people assume that I know something about technology and collaboration. But if you move that stack, I also have worked on promoting entrepreneurship. I've worked on terrorism finance issues. I've worked on environmental issues. It's not clear that I speak Spanish for my current job or Italian or Portuguese, but those things can be made transparent and available so that if you're looking for somebody who knows about migrant remittances and speaks Spanish, you know, you could find me. If you look at my current job description, you'd never expect that skill set. So making those available is great for the enterprise.
Are you going to plan any updates to this, or are you going to apply it in other directions?
So we just launched an update that had offered a lot of great new features. One is you could upload photos. There's opportunities to filter your view. So we live this because collaboration expects a lot of serendipity. So we want as many people to be able to see other people's updates as possible. So the default is you see everything. But you can narrow that to say, I just want to see the people in my office. And you click a button and you're seeing only the people in your office or people in one of the, you know, hundreds of groups that we've set up. And you can just track what's going on in that area. So it allows you this ability to filter the flow quickly. So you want to get a snapshot of what's going on in different areas, you can do that quickly. And we also are having a fun challenge this summer where we're having our student interns who are digital natives come in, and they get points for helping the non-digital natives, the folks who, for whom these collaboration platforms aren't so simple and routine. If they help them complete their profile, the person they help can give them a cour d'or. It's a little bonus, and then each week we have a winner. At the end of the summer, we'll have a winner for the person who helped the most, reverse mentorship. The intern's actually helping the diplomats.
That's a great idea, and actually it's a nice jumping-off point to explore other efforts in state to source ideas and innovations directly from State Department personnel. What are you doing in that area, and how does State Sounding Board Initiative and Idea Exchange play in making this a reality?
Well, that's the Secretary Sounding Board was a tremendously successful initiative that is it was launched in eDiplomacy. We built the original platform, actually built it on blog software, but it's now runs on Bright Idea software. And my colleague, Carrie O'Connor, who would be a great guest, runs that. And she does a phenomenal job of really taking the pulse of what's going on among the employees who are putting up ideas, people who are commenting on ideas. It is a curated platform because there are some restrictions on what can be discussed. And the restrictions are very clear and laid out in advance, but Carrie does a great job of ensuring that there's a vibrant interaction on it, all the while staying within the confines of what the Sounding Board was set up for.
What are some of the challenges when you move in that direction and using certain solicitation sort of platforms from personnel?
Well, I think, and I don't want to speak for Carrie, but one of the things that I think the challenge is to prove that leadership is listening. Part of the tricks are oftentimes there are reasons why an idea isn't picked up. But if the office responsible doesn't engage in a discussion to explain why something isn't feasible now, or we're working on this, or we've got a contract out to handle this, and that is where Carrie's done a great job of reaching out to the curators or gatekeepers of that issue or information and encouraging them to engage. But there can be cynicism where people say, well, is anybody really listening, or how come they haven't flipped a switch and made it happen? But the more the conversation happens, the more nuanced it becomes, and people understand that issues aren't oftentimes as simple as they may seem from the outside. If you're not working an issue, it may seem very simple to you, but there's a lot of complexities. And teasing out those complexities, people gain an appreciation for what people working in a completely different area of the State Department are up against.
How is eDiplomacy working to transform the way state does business? We will ask Richard Boley, Director of the Office of eDiplomacy within the U.S. Department of State, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.